This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and I'm coming to you today with part two of our message that was started in January of 2024. As you know, this is February 2024, and the subject scripture for this message is taken from Ecclesiastes chapter number 3 and verse number 1. This is our main scripture, even though I'm going to be addressing the verses 2 down through 8. And as is, I've already covered the first three verses, but this is the key verse for the entire passage. Ecclesiastes 3 and 1 says, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven." Now, the subject for this particular tract here is "Now is the Time," part number two. Part number one was in January. This is part number two. I covered verses 1 through 3 in the part one, and we're going to start off with verse 4. But like I said, when I left off last month, I had just finished with verse 3 of the 8 verses in this passage of scripture following our subject verse. Now we're going into verse number 4, which says, all these things have to do with times and seasons. Verse number 4 says, "A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance." Now, since the conditions addressed in this verse are closely related, I will address them all at the same time. There are and will be times in our lives where events will so disrupt our lives that we will enter the realm of mourning or weeping. This is usually because of the loss of a loved one, a child, a spouse, a parent, a sibling, or some other person who is very close to us. It is during these times that we will cease to function as we usually do, because the pain is so great. When we are in this position, we become weak and vulnerable. It is during these times that some people will see an opportunity to take advantage of us. Sometimes the loss of a loved one may be the one thing that will have us considering to end our lives. This is usually because we see no reason to carry on. That which was most important to us has left us, and we see nothing in the future to replace them. However, as this verse says, it is only a time or a season. The Bible tells us, weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning. You can find that passage of scripture in Psalms chapter number 30, the last part of verse number 5. What we are being told is, just as day turns into night, so too will night turn back into day. Why? Because God made it that way. When you are in the dark, you can't see anything. You can't see any way out. You are stumbling over things that you don't know are there. You are essentially blind. There is no vision or light to show you how to navigate through the space and find a way out. However, someone comes in and turns on a light, and you can see your way around and out of that situation. What is your response? Joy, laughter, and maybe dancing a jig. Not to make it sound like you are forgetting what you lost, but you are realizing that life goes on and there are bigger and better things in store for you. You might lose every earthly thing that you have, but as long as you have Christ, that is all you really need. Verse number 5 says, there's a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. There is a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. In this verse, we see the word stones. This has two different meanings. The first is stones as what is used in warfare. The second is stones as in gemstones like diamonds and rubies and such. In the case of the first one, if there is the possibility of someone being attacked by an enemy, then that person needs to begin preparing for battle. As Jesus says in Luke chapter number 14, verse number 31, or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and considereth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. When you have to do battle, it is a wise thing to make sure you are armed as much as is necessary to overcome the attack against you. And this is not always a physical attack. When it comes down to spiritual attacks, we can go to Ephesians chapter number 6 and read about the weapons of our warfare. Not carnal, in the whole armor of God we need to put on. So you see that warfare, whether in natural physical warfare or even spiritual warfare, you got to be prepared, and you got to make sure you got your weapons to use against the enemy as well as your defenses. So that's what this is addressing. Because now, when the time presents itself, getting back into the message here, where there is no further threat, then as a sign of making peace with a former foe, you would usually get rid of those stones or those weapons. Now, as far as the gemstones, that is a sign of wealth. Wealth is something that many people strive for, but few achieve. However, wealth can be a curse as well as a blessing. Wealth can put you in the position of being able to be a blessing to others, or it can put you in a position of being targeted by others. When you seek wealth, there are many different ways to achieve it. If, in order to achieve it, you are engaging in behavior that is not supported by God, then you are being led by the devil. And if that is the case, then you need to get rid of it because it is cursed. This leads into the other part of verse 5 when it talks about embracing. Embracing means to grab and hold on to. If you embrace something like a lifestyle, a religion, or a philosophy, then that essentially means that you identify with it and it has become a part of you. You become the walking, talking, and acting personification of that belief. There is nothing wrong with embracing any of these as long as they don't put you in a position of coming into conflict with God. If it does, then the best thing for you to do is separate yourself from it. The quicker, the better. Verse number 6. There's a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. This verse is akin to verse 5 in that it speaks of you obtaining something and then at some time later letting it go because you no longer need it. All of these things are things that we all seek in some form or another. However, they must be weighed. Weighed, W-E-I-G-H-E-D, in light of the Word of God. Verse number 7, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. The first part of this verse calls for us to rip up, shred, tear up, or otherwise destroy things that we wear that might be representative of the lifestyle that we no longer are a part of. Now, why do I mention clothing? Well, if you look at the wording, we see the words rend, that's R-E-N-D, and sew, S-E-W. Now, if the word used was S-O-W, then that would mean something else entirely different, like planting something, as was mentioned earlier. There is a familiar saying that the clothing makes the man or the woman. A lot of people are judged sometimes unfairly by the clothing that they wear. People affiliated with certain religions wear certain outfits that are testimony to their faith in that religion. If a person is supposed to be representing Christ, then you don't want to go around dressed like a hustler, pimp, prostitute, or some loose woman. As a Christian brother of mine had a situation where women came into the church that he pastors dressed in what was clearly men's clothing. I mean, a man's suit, tie, shirt with cufflinks, the whole nine yards. After the service, he had one of the ushers ask the woman if she had a moment to talk with him in his office. When she got in there, he asked her that if she was going to come back to his church to please dress appropriately. Well, as far as I know, she never went back. But here's the thing. He didn't embarrass her in front of the whole church by calling her out. He did it the way Christ says it should be done, one-on-one. You can find that in Matthew chapter number 18 and verse number 15. The reasons for this are, well, I'm going to give you two reasons. There's some other reasons, but I'm going to give you two. First, she is a distraction in the church in that people that are familiar with lesbians would see her and be tempted to gossip among themselves, which basically gossiping things is one of the things that God frowns on. So when you doing something that causes people to gossip about you, then that's going to be a problem, especially in the church. But next, and this is a key point here, if the pastor has prepared a message on the LGBTQ lifestyle, and this woman walked into the service, she might think that he had intentionally chosen to pick on her because of what she was. Neither of these things does any good for the purposes of promoting holiness and sanctification. Now, the obvious opposite of this is to make or purchase clothing that promotes what you claim to be. Let it be something that brings glory to Christ. The last part of that verse says there is a time to be silent and a time to speak. I could go for days on this one, but I'm not going to do that. But anyway, what we are essentially being told here is there are times when, in order to learn something, that we need to listen. It is quite obvious that you cannot listen and talk at the same time. A majority of the problems we face in this world, in this nation, and especially the black community, come from people who are so busy spouting off their opinions of what they heard someone say, when in reality they can't, they only heard a small part of it and ran off half-cocked and started spreading something that wasn't true. The Bible tells us in James chapter 1, verse number 19, "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." Notice the order of the words, hearing and speaking. Hearing is first, meaning you need to be quiet so that you can listen. I have seen too many people get into fights, hating each other, and getting killed, all because someone didn't like what they thought they heard and got angry over something that, had they listened to the whole statement, would not have been in that position. It also doesn't do any good if the speaker keeps getting interrupted by someone who refuses to let them finish what they were saying, and they get angry. Then what you have is one big mess. If you are going to disagree with something someone says, let it be after they have finished their point. Then speak. Verse number 8 says there is a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. This verse capsulizes the full range of human emotions: love and hate, war and peace. It is interesting how that many people think that as a Christian, we are to love everyone. And if we hate someone, then that indicates that we aren't following the teachings of Christ. What they don't understand is that what is being talked about here mostly has to do with hating what the person is doing and not necessarily the person. Jesus set the example of unconditional love in that he came here, suffered, and died on a cross for all mankind because he loves all of us. However, even this Jesus had instances where he was angered by things that mostly of those that claimed to be his ministers were doing. It was this loving Jesus that went into the temple and chased those that were doing business in there out with a whip. He told them that they were turning, these are his words, my Father's house into a den of thieves. You can go to Mark chapter number 11, verses 15 through 17. And Luke chapter number 19, verses 45 and 46. It was this same Jesus that essentially cursed out the religious leaders and the politicians of his day in Matthew chapter number 23. Verses 23 through 36. In these and other places, you will see God's anger being poured out on people because of what they were doing, and not so much because he hated them. However, there are times when God will essentially determine that a person has come to a place where they are no longer deserving of his grace and mercy. It is at this time that even though he loves them, he will destroy them in hell. If you can't believe that, I would suggest you read Revelations, starting in chapter 2 and verse number 1. Read that entire chapter, go into chapter number 3, and read down all the way from verse 1 in chapter 3 all the way down to verse number 22. Now, what you will find is that in the end, this is when it's time for judgment and things like that. If the churches, because Jesus was addressing the seven churches in Asia, so these are churches, these are people that believe in God, believe in Christ, that were, you know, the children of God, born again and the light. He says what you will find, well, basically what you will find, he addressed these seven churches. He said if the churches aren't in line with him, he will, for all intents and purposes, cast them into hell as well. The whole notion that God is so loving that he will overlook our transgressions or sins without our repenting and take us into heaven regardless is a fantasy that is concocted by the devil. A fantasy concocted by the devil. That is why we see things like abortion, gay rights and gay marriage, separation of church and state, and other demon-inspired lifestyles and practices being readily accepted in most churches. They are listening to the devil rather than Christ. As a result, if you choose to do that, when he is cast into hell, talking about the devil, and cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, those that follow him will be cast in there as well. So, as you can see, there is a time or season for everything under the sun. And as such, as the Apostle Paul put it, there was a time when he was a child, but the time came when he had to put away childish or foolish things. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 13 and verse number 11. Well, I will finish this message next month, God willing. But I hope you're beginning to see there's times and things that's going to come into all of our lives. None of us are immune from it, but it is how we handle them that makes the difference, especially when it's the bad times. Anybody can handle good, you know, when everything is going good. You got money, you got your loved ones around you, you got friends and everything else. You got all of these good things that's happening, and you feel you're king of the world, you're on top of the mountain. But when bad times come, a good example for you to do is, if you get a chance, read the Old Testament book of Job, J-O-B. Read it through, but you'll find how that Job, you talk about a man that went from wealth to poverty, and also losing all of his loved ones, his children and things like that, losing his property and everything, all of this within the span of a few short days or weeks. Now, you talk about somebody going through something and all the problems that he had and how he dealt with it. That should let you know, if he could go through it and he didn't have Christ, he didn't have the Holy Ghost working through him, and didn't have the knowledge of God that God provides for us, the insight to let us see what's happening. If he could do that without what we have today available to us, then surely you can make it as well. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre wishing you and your family a happy and prosperous new year again, and may you and your family be blessed until we get together again. Good day.